Here's Mary Ellen Angel Scribe, author of Expect Miracles, with a Miracle Minute.
Welcome to Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. I'm your host, Tatira. And I have a fabulous show for you today. I'm so excited to bring some new information to you. I am going to ask that you wait to call in till half past the hour. And that number for calling in is 1-877-876-5227. But I will ask that you wait till at least half past the hour because I have a great subject to talk about today. I'm so excited. I have been off on one of the greatest adventures of my life. I have been professionally doing spiritual work for over 25 years, and I have to tell you, this conference I just went to was probably the highlight of my career. I just got back from a conference put on by the International Spiritualist Federation. I'll give you their website so you can check that out. It's www.theisf.com. This International Federation is based on spiritualism, and it's a week-long conference that happened to be in Rochester, New York this year, and it presented some of the most incredible mediums and teachers from all over the world. And this program was so professionally put together. It had hotel, class, food, everything was put into an incredible package and ran so amazingly smoothly for as large a group as it was. And what I thought was the most amazing thing is I got to experience the caliber of teachers that I have only dreamed of. I was blown away. It was like I've waited all my life to experience some of the things that I have seen at this conference. This conference really brought together the best of many, many worlds for me. The caliber of teachers on the platform, in the classroom, were amazing. But even more amazing was the caliber of people that you could wind up sitting with at your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So you had the benefit of these amazing teachers that were part of the program, but also other levels of teachers and students that have come to experience those teachers. You could wind up with having sitting at a table with five or six very great and well-known and talented mediums, teachers, and healers. And so the experience was not just in your daily class, but also just in your experience of the people around you. So it was like the best of both worlds. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about this International Spiritualist Federation for a moment. It's been an organization that's been around a very, very long time, since probably the 1800s. It's based, of course, on modern spiritualism, which is interesting. Early World Spiritualist Conferences were held in the 1880 and 1889. Then it was interrupted, unfortunately, due to the war in 1914 to 1918. And then it was really not until 1947 that it started up again, and held a conference in England when a small number of delegates from Great Britain, France, South Africa, Canada, and Sweden attended, and they were sponsored by the National Union of Great Britain to come together. And the outlook was it was really pretty hard because they were in post-war time, and all their original organization had been lost from the Paris headquarters of the ISF due to the war activities. And so they really had to kind of rise from the ashes and rebuild, and thank God they did, because I tell you, the talent and the information that is generated by this organization is mind-boggling. There's over 42 nations represented, and I think it actually is a lot more than that right now, actually, but shortly after the war, 42 nations were involved. So this organization has been really rebuilt and had some amazing dignitaries. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle was president, honorary president. His wife, Lady Conan Doyle, also was president for a while. So they've had some very significant British people, British mediums in particular, but mediums from different countries, be part of this organization. And this week that I was there, I have to tell you, the caliber of mediumship, and I don't want to, I'm going to talk about mediumship because it's my passion, but I will talk about the healers and the other forms that I saw too. It was an amazing opportunity to see a lot of mediums from different countries be on the platform. And what I mean by platform work, in the English-British form, and also actually in America, we have what we call platform work. It's where mediums go up onto a stage, and they will, in front of a large audience, follow the energy to a person and then give evidential information to that person. And when I talk about this, often we'll see kind of vague, oh, I have a grandmother figure here. You know, she looks like she's in her 70s. Well, everybody has a grandmother who probably is in their 60s or 70s, but that's vague. But what we saw in this week conference was not vague. It was very articulate and gave many, many absolute evidential information. And I'm going to give it in a vague way. I'm going to use different names to protect the people who were there receiving messages. But I really want to say there would be a medium come to the platform. She would say that she came to the lady in the orange blouse and the glasses, and she would start giving evidence, and it would be so specific. For example, one medium gave that I have a passed-over husband. She talked about how he had been sick, how it was just before he got very ill, spoke about the fact that they went to the hospital, how long they were in the hospital, that he actually turned his face away just before the moment of death and gave really specific evidential information. She went on to say things about what had happened since the husband's passing, things that had gone on, down to specific things of looking in a drawer just before she came to this conference and thinking about something, looking for a particular article, not being able to find it, looking at a cloth napkin and thinking she should have it washed. So I think it's pretty specific information. It was not a vague thing. I saw one medium give information about birth dates and specific dates that were important to the family, initials, names. It was very a quality of mediumship that I have not seen. We've seen maybe a little bit with John Edwards, John Holland, but not as specific as what I saw from these mediums at this particular conference. Their training in the UK and as well as, I understand, in Sweden and other countries is very different than what we in America often receive, unfortunately. Partly because there's actually a law in England about mediumship and what can and cannot be given on the platform. So they have an actual legal law that they have to live up to and guidelines they have to live up to. They have actually, they have the ISF as well as a spiritual union. They have several big organizations plus Finlay College, which really sets the standard and the bar for this kind of work. So what I saw was and experienced was a total different caliber of mediumship. And I'm talking just mediumship. I'm not talking clairvoyance. I'm not talking psychic. They consider them very different things than I do. I always actually understood they're very different avenues of work. It's like this. You can be an MD, a medical doctor, but then within the medical doctor field, you might specialize and become a brain surgeon or heart surgeon. You might become a specific kind of doctor. It's that same way. You can be a clairvoyant and not be a medium. But most mediums are clairvoyant. So it's a very strange thing to figure out. But mediumship in its pure form is a very different level and is very hard in a way sometimes to describe unless you've studied it or watched it or watched some great mediums. They go into a very different state of being if they are a conscious channel. that, in other words, spirit comes into their energy and they sense and feel it, and they'll see pictures and hear things. And clairvoyance sometimes is a little more vague. You're really hearing it through your guides. You're hearing it outside of yourself, not so much direct from the entity or the person who has passed. So the level of this mediumship that we saw performed was outstanding. I tell you, it was so incredible. And when it comes to my work, I think I'm a pretty good clairvoyant. I don't think that's egotistical. I think if you're good at something, it's you should know it. And I'm not saying that there are better. There's tons better clairvoyants, and there's certainly people who are studying and have not reached my level. But what I found when I went to this experience was that it pushed me beyond my experience. I had to learn to do my clairvoyance in a different way, by a different standard, a different way of doing it. And it stretched my ability to get more details, how to ask more questions of spirit and get more specific answers to give really evidential information. And what I saw really with these incredible clairvoyants, Val Williamson was one of my teachers, amazing woman. I can't tell you enough about her. I hope you'll check out her website. She's a UK medium, as well as Bill Kohler, C-O-L-L-E-R, and I believe he's actually in Switzerland. Both these were amazing platform workers. There's tons more. Please go to the ISF site and check out the list of presenters. But for a minute, I'm going to talk about these two particular because I have personal experiences of information and seeing Val. Val was one of my teachers, so I have personal experience of being in her class and see how her demanding and her expectations of what she wanted from developing mediums. She would not let you be a little bit wishy-washy. If you were going to give descriptions, she wanted, how tall are they? Are they, what sizes are they? You couldn't say medium built. She said, how small is small and how big is big, which is true. You had to really give a more descriptive understanding of what you were seeing or feeling and clarify it. And she really wanted more details, like what did they do for a living? How did they wear their hair? What was their personality like? Any information down to in the UK, and often in her work, she would give names. She would give what they did for a living, describe where their homes were. There was so much detail that it was overwhelming. And one of the experiences is that one of the mediums was on the platform and gave evidential information. Well, they happened to read somebody who was a client of mine, so I knew this person's background. I knew that the medium that was reading did not know this client. Totally from different countries. And this person gave such evidential detail that I knew, because I had read for this person, I knew the details, more details than I'd given that person. It was so specific, and down to what they had done the first Christmas after the passing, details in how they had honored that person for that holiday. And so this quality of mediumship is absolutely amazing. And what I really learned is that the standards and the teaching abilities, the how they teach to train mediums and to train even clairvoyance, is very, very different. And most of the time that they are studying under someone for 5 to 7 years before they even step foot on a platform. And because it's such a deep tradition and the standards of how things, and of course the rich history in England is you know, very much, the bar is raised very extensively. What I realized is that unfortunately in America, I don't think that we have set the standard as high. I don't, in the things that I've researched, I have not seen where people are as committed to the journey of their spirituality and their commitment to training, to really study under a teacher that has these kind of really high standards. I think that at Lilydale, certainly NSAC is setting standards by having the Morris Pratt Institute program, and the Center for Spiritual Studies programs, which are written programs as certificate programs. But I don't think that because they're correspondents, most of the time the people are not getting to spend the hours and the time and the dedication of setting in circles and working with mediums that say, okay, but give me more detail. Go to the next level. What else is it spirit saying to you? Step back in the energy that you can't break that link. Step back, trust, get more information. The drive and the push for your connective link with spirit to stay so fine-tuned is really, really interesting to me. And what I really also saw is the dedication. These people are so dedicated to really wanting it to be that quality that they don't settle for less. They don't settle for wishy-washy, and they will push their students to really to work at their ability to be key in the dedication amount of time. The other thing that we talked about in this week-long experience, which was really, really, truly so wonderful, was that most, well, I don't think it's just American. I'm going to say American because I'm talking about my own experience. But I really even saw from other countries that I don't think that a lot of people who are into spirituality and metaphysics and even who are clairvoyants dedicate enough time to meditation and working with spirit. I believe I spent a lot of time in prayer and dedication of working with my angels, guides, and masters. But I really realized that it really needs to even be brought to another level. One of the classes I took was Beginning Physical Mediumship with Bill Parkins. And that was an interesting experience because I don't consider myself really a physical medium. In other words, I hear my guide, Dom Sallust, all the time. I don't really go unconscious. I have, since I've started the development circle that I've been teaching almost 2 years now, had a couple experiences of going into trance and experiencing that. What I saw in Bill's class was absolutely amazing. He had a portable cabinet set up where you go and sit in, which is basically a box that holds the energy. And he was teaching about sitting to train a medium, a transfiguration medium, a medium who would go into trance or have entities or spirit beings come over your face. So you'd actually see someone, you know, in spirit form over the person's face, which was very, very interesting. In this group, he had several people who had sat with him several years as part of this group that was a class, so it was good that their energy was blended. But what was interesting, when you set a circle to develop a specific transfiguration medium, you are setting in the group to send energy into that cabinet, specifically for that medium's work. It's not about you developing as the person that's sitting. You're just an observer, and you're a battery. And so the experience of sitting in that capacity to learn how patient can you be, how focused can you be, how attentive can you be about sending the energy and not getting caught up in drifting off a little bit yourself or feeling spirits present because the room really gets cold. It's an amazing experience. Just before we did see transfiguration several times, the room gets very, very icy cold. You could almost see your breath. It was a phenomenal experience. But to know that it's not about you, that's a dedication to really choose to set for another person to develop is an amazing experience and one that you can learn a lot from. I'm not so sure for me that would be what I want to do, but it was a great experience to see that, to talk about some of the great transfiguring mediums that have been documented, especially English mediums. So, but I want to tell you there were several countries there. I think there were 15 countries represented at this week-long conference. And I have to tell you, for the amount of money, if you can get the chance, this is like prerequisite to Hogwarts. I mean, it's the most amazing experience. I can't even say enough good things about it because I'm so jazzed about it. I also want to say that there were other teachers. There were the first one we were in was the first transfiguration and physical mediumship. There was also a beginner level of that, of how to begin to get your body ready to do transfiguration, the rules of that, not to touch a medium, that dark, they use dark, you're in the dark and they use a red light, all the things that you need to know so that the medium as well as you have a good experience and no harm comes to anyone. Then there was trance mediumship where you're just going into trance, where transfiguration may not happen, but yet another voice, another entity or spirit voice comes through you or comes through the trumpets that are in the room. Then there was spiritual healing, and Steve Herman from the U.S. is an amazing young man. I had actually read about him and learned a little bit about him when I went to Casa Dega, Florida, and I had hoped to meet him. So it was very, for me, exciting to meet him, connect with him, see his work, his amazing hands, healing hands that are just, if you get the chance to ever sit in a chair where he does energy healing, it's an amazing, amazing experience. And I hope to interview him on a future radio show. He's very talented. He does other mediumship work as well, but he was teaching one of the healing classes at this week-long seminar. Then they also had a class by a mental medium, Pat Campbell from the UK. Amazing experience to see these mediums work in the different ways that they work, even though they may have been trained by similar people. I found very fascinating that each person connects in a little different ways, although there's a standard of what they feel is needed to prove the continuity of life. When you talk to an English medium, most of them that I talked to, not all, but most of them I talked to, the standard was that you should give 7 points of evidence at least. And when I asked what those 7 points were, they were varied a little bit from medium to medium, but there was sort of a standard in that. You needed to give the personality, a description of the person, their age approximately, not necessarily in years, but try and give a description of what they looked like just before they passed, the process before, during, and after they passed, any names that you could give, or evidential things, meaning things that perhaps the person talked about that were evidential to the person. It could be about giving them a watch, a ring, some significant personal article, talking about the pets, their pets and their pets' names, or children's names or family member names, birthdays, anniversaries. There would be this kind of very detailed evidence, which we don't necessarily always hear when we hear it in the United States. If you watch John Edwards, Sylvia Brown, John Holland, Gordon Smith on TV, you will hear some pretty specific things. I've seen John Holland give specific addresses and information that will very, very amazing. John Edwards has come up with names that you could never come up with. They were pet dog names and amazing things. And this is the caliber consistently that I saw this week. It wasn't just one evening. It was every evening there was a program of seeing different mediums. So it would be like international medium night. It would be U.S. medium night. It would be a mixture. Even the students had to get up. I have to tell you, it was terrifying. It was the longest 10 minutes I've ever put on a stage. Because when you're up there, I'm very confident in my own medium here in my work in Seattle, but being in front of international mediums and mediums from all over the world in a technique that's very different than mine was really a big challenge, and I was really pleased that I survived it, experienced it, and it showed me how much I want to grow and what I want to shoot for, that I want the other aspect of this added to my work, although it may never be the mediumship, type of mediumship I pursue in a full-time way. I think that it's okay to know that you may be, like the MD versus a specialist. But I think it's good to know all the types of mediumship that and work and clairvoyance that are out there and healing. I think it's all part of a path. And the more we know about it, the more we can find what resonates with us. What is my desire? What do I want? And I love seeing other very amazing workers. I loved seeing the styles and the abilities of people from many different countries And I really admired people that where English was not their first language. When I saw Sue, I apologize, I don't remember her last name. Sue from Sweden is someone who studied under Bill Collier for 5 years. Incredible young medium. She is so talented, but I could tell she struggled with the taking it from her own language into English for the audience. Her mediumship was incredible, but I can't imagine how hard it must be to translate in your brain, because I can barely do English some days, from what Spirit's giving you, because they give you in signs and symbols and tones and sounds and language, and to translate all that from whatever Spirit's giving you, from Spirit language into your own language, which was Swedish, into an English language, and then get it across to someone that's a perfect stranger. Powerful, powerful. Amazing to see. Because I know it was hard for me to be up there, and English is my first language. And so to see so many people from different countries give such quality experiences on a platform was absolutely mind-boggling. Beyond these kind of classes of teachings, they gave other things that I found very exciting. And so I'm going to give you just the names of some other things that they gave. They had people talk about what is it like to have a career in mediumship, the do's and don'ts, which I thought was very, very important. They talked about mediumship overcoming the blocks. How do you overcome when you hit the block and you feel like you're stuck in your work? And I think for anyone who's ever aspired to learn this, who have gone to workshops in America especially, and gone and said, I get certain things, but then I get to that level, and then I just can't overcome. I'm stuck. I sense and I know Spirit, but I can't get the names. I can't get certain things. It talked about that, how people hit blocks, how to overcome them, how to simply stop and take a deep breath and ask another question, that sometimes it's in the asking of the question that the answer becomes clearer. Going back in the energy, not getting frustrated in the moment, but trusting. That was an amazing workshop given by Dr. Myers. It talked about, they had a workshop talking about the careers and the mediumship of the Fox Sisters, the history of modern spiritualism in America. They talked about the spiritualism and spiritual activities in the U.S., the evolution of spiritualism in America, which was fascinating. They had wonderful lectures about electronic voice phenomena, Tom and Lisa Butler from the U.S. That was a fascinating subject. There was so much in this week that you could not possibly do it all. They talked about also walking your talk and the ethics of your work. And, that's one thing we talk about when we've talked about on this show, that, there's no board of inquiry for psychics and clairvoyants. And so, the word psychic over the years has really kind of got a bad name, leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I don't even like to be called a psychic because it's so caught up with fortune telling and 1-800, call me, I'll take your money, that kind of thing. And it's really gotten a bad rep. You'll see some 1-800 psychic. And not all 1-800 psychics are ripoffs. There's some really good people that do 1-800 lines. But because of the ripoff artists and thieves in every type of business, there's bad doctors and bad lawyers and bad different things. So our profession is no different, unfortunately. There's fraud in many, many things. So it talked about the need to police our own activities, to take personal responsibility, to have refund policies, that this organization is moving towards those standards that of having people who are certified on the NSAC, the National Spiritualist Association of Churches, have courses so that you are becoming a certified medium, certified teacher, certifications. So the ARE has a very strict way of making sure that the people that are represented through their organization have been field tested and studied. They keep files on all of their readers so that if there are complaints, you can go back and have a voice. And that's really, really important. I do believe probably within the next 10 years that there probably will be a licensing organization just like beauticians are licensed and other professionals have license or have boards that look into things, I think that eventually metaphysics will have a board of its own as well. And I think it's probably a good idea. Of course, within that, you have to define how are you, who's going to watch who, and how can it not be political but can be more professional. This organization, I believe, is really setting the standard for some of that to be a very important part of the dynamics of evolution in the professional field. So this whole week had so many classes that were of interest. Not just the classes, but talks where you could participate. You could ask questions. You had at your fingertips some of the top people around the world. So, again, I want to give you how to look them up on the web. So if you have more questions and want to know more about the International Spiritualist Federation, it's www.theiss.com. For more information about them. It's one of, like I said, what I found amazing, too, because I've gone to a lot of different conferences. The first thing that struck me the most is that, A, it was well-organized, that people were very professional. And I had always heard, you know, that English people were a little removed. Well, I didn't find that at all. The English people, as well as the European, all the European people I met, were so friendly. There was no one-up or I'm better than you. It was a lovely, lovely experience. Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Tara. How are you this evening?
I'm fabulous. Who are you and where are you calling from?
This is Julia from Maryland.
Hi, Julia from Maryland. What can I do for you today?
Well, I had a birthday Sunday, and I was hoping for a little insight for a birthday.
Okay.
Please.
Okay, sure. First thing I want to say is that you have really done some reorganization that Spirit's very pleased about. So you kind of took some things off your plate that were holding you back. Do you understand that?
Yes.
Okay. So they're saying that by, we're in September, November, some new doors open for you. Honey, don't walk, run. Embrace it. It's a new door that's going to give you some real joy, because you kind of have been kind of on hold a little bit. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're kind of getting off hold. So accept some new invitations and get out in a social situation a little more, because you've been not very social.
No, you're right.
You were
right.
Doing cave time.
Yes.
So the cave time's over. Let your little diva out. You know, you got a nice little energy diva there with you. And you know, let yourself laugh and have a little bit of the party scene. You know, it's more social. You just need to be a little more interactive, because that opens some doors for you that will really give you some happiness in 2008, darling. No more hold.
No more hold, okay.
Yeah, no more blocks, no more hold. It's really a lot of joy, a little more freedom around work, hon, too. But mainly social life is what needs to pick up for you.
Oh, good.
Yeah, good time. Yay. Party.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Really
have a great birthday,
it.
Darling.
You too.
You too.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah, we all kind of do that cave time sometimes, and when we're not listening to ourselves, it forces us into ourselves. And the cave time's fun because it makes us sort ourselves out. But then, you know, fling that door open and have a good time and make it about you for the next 6 months, and you'll really have a good time. And you won't do any more cave time for a while, which is great. Bless your heart. So if you want to call in, 1-877-876-5227 is the number, international. And so if you have questions about the International Spiritualist Federation or questions about the mediumship, the things we've been talking about, I'd love to answer some questions for you. I have to tell you, I had such a good time. I am giddy over it, because so many times you go to workshops and it's at a level that is beginning. And there certainly was some beginning. There was something for everybody at this particular international affair. Often you'll go to workshops and it's at such a beginning level that it's hard for you to sit there because you've studied a lot. I mean, we are now in 2007. Almost everybody has studied. I mean, if you're into metaphysics, you're well studied now, because we have so many books. Thanks to Hay House. We have, you know, amazing Hay House books. We have John Holland, Gordon Smith, Sylvia Brown, Doreen Virtue. I mean, there is a lot of things out there in, quote-unquote, the New Age, even Metaphysics for Dummies. There are books that have some very good foundation work to lay for you. But what is it? What do you do after you've had the main course and you want the dessert? You want something that really pushes your avenue or your understanding and goes to a different level. This is what this International Spiritualist Federation did for me. It gave me, like, the choice of amazing things, cheesecake, you know, and chocolate. It was like the dessert tray for metaphysics for me because it was such a different level. And what was nice is, though, the way the teachings were, that even if you were sort of new and had a very sort of limited avenue of metaphysics, you weren't left out. You could come there and you'd be a little overwhelmed, because even I was overwhelmed, which was amazing. And that sounds egotistical, and I don't mean it to, but I mean, I really am very well read and have studied a long time. But I found things there that I didn't even know about. I found some books on English mediums that I'm going to pursue, and just so many things that I hadn't even thought I could pursue. And then they had a wonderful excursion to Lilydale, which was interesting. It was interesting. I have been to Lilydale one other time. But what was really interesting about this trip was to see other mediums, other people from other countries experience Lilydale. It was very lovely. They had a time at Inspirational Stump, which is a very famous place within the Lilydale community, where for over 100 years, mediums have given message. And they had three mediums from Lilydale give messages and three international mediums give messages. So it was a wonderful blending of America and Europe, and a great experience. If you haven't had the chance to go to Lilydale and experience their museum and their library, you have to check that out. We are very blessed to have communities like Lilydale that do have a good foundation and do have classes over the season, the summer season, from June to I think actually the 1st of September is the season for Lilydale, and they do have teachers and people come and teach classes there. But again, it's a very different level of teaching. I don't know whether they do bring international teachers from England, because I have not seen the schedule every year, but I do know they bring teachers from all over the world. But the level and the standards that I saw set by the English medium really raised the bar and really taught me I've got to get out my gym shoes and do some work to really go to the next level of that experience of mediumship. So again, if you have questions about this or you're curious about what you felt maybe or I didn't explain enough for you about a certain type of mediumship, a certain thing, please call 1-877-876-5227. The next conference next year is in England. I do not have that information, but when I do get that information, I will post it to the website. It's my understanding that every other year they have it, every 2 years they have it in America. So my understanding from their information is that it'll be 2 years before it'll be back in America, and that you will have the chance to experience it. The other thing that I thought was really wonderful is to see some of the mediums from the NSAC work the platform, and the respect among all of these professionals was such a nice thing to see, the level of understanding, cooperation, coordination. It was amazing. I did not see any disagreements or disrespect in any form, which was so delightful. Often when running a big organization, it's very hard to keep egos in check and keep our personalities, you know, and keep everything in harmony. And this conference just ran just in beautiful harmony. It was wonderful. So I have to tell you, I'm saving my money up to go off and experience it next year, I hope, because I do think that there is so much yet to be learned by anyone who's studying metaphysics. There's just a rich history in England that we have not even tapped into. Hello, welcome to the airwaves.
Hello there, Akira. It's Claudine.
Hi, Claudine. How are you?
Welcome back, and I'm so happy you're back, and it sounds like you had a fantastic time.
I did. I loved it so much.
I'm jealous. I can hardly wait to hear more, but I do have one question for you. If you are a healer, do you have to be clairvoyant, or what is the difference between a healer and somebody who's a medium or clairvoyant?
That's a great question. I think everybody has the healing ability, and I do think it's partly clairvoyant. I do. I think that I think whether you are clairvoyant or not, you're a channel. I mean, being clairvoyant is being a channel. Most of the time when we mention it, it means, you know, channeling consciously messages or images we're receiving. Well, I think healers do it the same way. We're healers are channels for the energy to go through. Most of them consider themselves unconscious, not meaning that they're in trance, but they are just being a vehicle. They are blanking their energy in their mind and not judging what's happened. And they are letting the energy flow through them, so they are like a conduit for the divine energy. Now, once you practice that to a certain level, I think that you do become more clairvoyant, and what will happen is you may have hits on something that's going on in the body, okay? But most of the time when it's done in the setting that was done at this conference and with the NSAC, you're not doing clairvoyance. You would not say that to the client.
Okay.
Until after the healing, you might go up and say, while I was doing healing on you, I did get a sense about something. It's very important in these settings that we don't prescribe. In other words, we don't say, oh, I see cancer. We don't say those kinds of things. We don't prescribe. We don't say, oh, I think you should go do this. You know, we are just sending divine healing energy. So it's not a judgment, and it's very different than being Carolyn Mace. She is an intuitive, medical intuitive. And so she will talk about organs or what she sees in the body. It's more of a clairvoyant thing. She's not healing. She's describing or diagnosing.
Okay.
So it's a very different action than when we're talking about spiritual healing.
Okay.
There's a wonderful guy, Harry Edwards, is an English healer that's very well written about, amazing, amazing healer. If you get the chance to ever read any of Harry Edwards' books, it's phenomenal about how he did distance healing and physical healing in his presence, but also long distance, just by letters, very much in a way, energetically, like Edgar Cayce. Edgar Cayce would go in a conscious level of his psyche to the place where the person was and describe what was going on. He was more of a medical intuit. Then he would talk and prescribe what to do about that. But Harry Edwards actually just used energy.
Okay. Well, I wrote down Harry Edwards, so I'll have to go online and go to Amazon.
Yeah, fabulous, fabulous medium. Thank God somebody wrote books about him. He's documented wonderfully, thank you, God, because he did a life work. He still has a center in the U.K., and he actually had protégés that carry on his work, which is a blessing, because too often, unfortunately, when you have someone that gifted, like Edgar Cayce, who carried on his work, we don't have an Edgar Cayce today. And if we do, we don't have him in public enough yet.
Yeah.
You know, so sometimes the legacy gets lost, and so hopefully Harry Edwards' work will not be, because my understanding is his protégés have the same ability and doing wonderful work still.
Well, I'll have to read about him, and then I look forward to seeing you. And
oh, thank you so much. We'll see you in class.
Okay.
Blessings, darling.
Take care, Kira.
Thanks for calling in.
You bet.
That was a great question, because there is many, many forms and levels of healing. And because I do healing, but I don't do it, that's not my chosen just, that's not just what I do. Where some people, that's their chosen niche, and they're wonderful. They do amazing work, and they're dedicated healers. Harry Edwards' work is fabulous, very, very amazing. There are, you know, Carolyn Meese is an incredible medical intuitive Sutherland. I cannot remember her first name. I apologize. There's some wonderful medical intuitives out there, as well as healers. And many, many spiritualist churches have certified healers that will do healing, distant healing. You can get on the prayer list. You can go to nsac.org and facilitate the putting anybody that you feel needs healing on that list. And our website as well, we have a prayer team on our website at www.angelescribe.com. So if you want to have healing for any loved ones, family, or yourselves, you can certainly go there. And that's one thing I do like about spiritualism. It does believe in long and distance healing, meaning that you can, at a spiritualist church, you can go and sit in a healing chair for someone else. You can be like the surrogate. And the amazing thing is when you do that, though, the side effect is you get a healing, and the person that you're sitting there for gets the healing, and the healer gets the healing. So when you do some healing work, I think it's a win-win for everybody. So being part of that is very, very important. If you're interested in knowing a little bit more about spiritual healing, please check Steve Herman's website, which I believe is Steve Herman, HERMANN.com, because he would have more on about the spiritual healing. And I apologize, I don't think I have Harry Edwards. I think you can actually just go on the web and type in Harry Edwards and get his foundation's name, and that would give you more about his long distance or his distance healing. I know that they also have information that the INS website does also put out a magazine, which I think you can request, that may give you more information on that those connections as well. So again, if you have any questions, 1-877-876-5227. I think I'm overly excited. I've been talking so fast. But it the mediumship, what also was interesting to me is that as I watched these mediums work, when we were working with the person doing trance, being in the cabinet, what would happen was this transfiguration, a face would come over the face, but in the box, other things would be happening. In this amazing cabinet, you would see sparks of light flash. You would see other shadows form in the background. There would be other manifestations happening that I found were very, very interesting. You would feel the room get so cold, your breath, you could see your breath. I mean, it was like being outside. There was an amazing amount of phenomena that I had not experienced because I had not really sat for that kind of mediumship before. So it was a great experience to first of all, sat with people who had done this for 35 and 40 years. I have to tell you, sitting down and talking with someone who has spent 50 years of their life doing mediumship professionally is amazing. The stories that you hear, the great mediums that they have met. They talked about Gordon Higgins, a very well-known English medium who had transfiguration, who had materializations, that forms would materialize, full-body apparitions would materialize in public, in front of 800 people. Amazing. Just to hear these experiences that people have had from the 1940s, when mediumship was probably about one of the highest levels right after the war, during the war and right after, I guess, so 1950 up to 1953, after the war, when mediumship started rebuilding itself, they had these incredible mediums that had studied with for years. Gordon Higgins had started when he was 12 years old. His mother was a medium. She was very structured, very strict, and his aunt was a medium. And he was trained from 12 years old. He was starting to get his first manifestations in circles. And that it talked about him being, you know, his mother putting cotton wool in his ears and blindfolding him so that he would not be distracted by the sitters, that he would just purely have to be in spirit energy and give what he saw from spirit, what he was heard from spirit. He wouldn't be distracted by body language or by the presence or the reaction on anybody's face or anything. He had to give it in pure form. What you get, what you see, what you hear, he gave as evidential information. And how much time he sat in by himself with spirit. It was an amazing, almost, you know, like really truly when you talk about saints that have had ecstasy experiences or have had experience with spirit. Padre Pio, who talked about having experiences with the angels, Padre Pio, who could bilocate, he would know things. He would answer letters before the letter had even got to him sometimes. It was an amazing experience. But the commonality seemed to be about these great mediums that you know, I've begun to read about now that I didn't have access until this conference about, was the dedication, the amount of time they sat in circles, very dedicated week after week after week, sometimes two times a week, with committed other people to help them develop. They also have the luxury and the awesome experience of sitting with people who had already been committed 25, 30 years to be able to sit with teachers like that who really could say, yes, that's evidential, no, that's not, that's too vague, this is good, this isn't, and correct them and to nurture them without breaking their ego, without breaking their you know, vulnerability, and teaching them to trust the next level and to go and to extend themselves and to be in a safe environment to talk about their spiritual experience. Fabulous support system that they have had, really, I believe, probably led to a quality of mediumship that we've got away from. You've got to think about, too, in post-war, people were in recovery. There were a lot of people who had passed over, a lot of soldiers, a lot of people killed during the war. So the need for mediums was very strong as well. People wanted to connect with their loved ones. Loved ones wanted to connect with the people. There was also this coming together of kind of rebuilding a spiritual family, of nurturing these people who are gifted, protecting them, of giving them the safe cocoon to do their work, and to really also develop and not lose the quality. And we didn't have the, you know, in those years, you didn't have the distraction of TV that much. I mean, very few people had TV. Very few people had radios. People went into their parlors and sat in circles and dedicated time to spirit because that's what they had. They were still rebuilding. They were working hard. They would have, that was their time as a group or as a spiritual family or as a family to develop this experience. And so there was not as much distraction with TVs, radios, computers, all this input we get. One of the things that they talked about in this conference was that they believe, most of the really good mediums, there was a kind of a discussion about this, that most of the really developed mediums do not watch TV. They don't get into the, you know, they don't get hung up on their computer. They limit being on the computer to 2 to 3 hours a day. They don't get involved in a lot of things. One of the trance medium man absolutely says you don't bring any cell phones, recorders, anything into the seance room, in his seance room, unless you ask spirit that you can bring a recorder in and you get permission from spirit for that. Other than that, you don't have any of those things, electronic devices, in or near your room. You have a dedicated room only for that, that is very stark, basically would have no pictures on the wall, it would be plain, it would have just the chairs. That room is dedicated because you actually build up the energy in that room to be used for spiritual work. And it was interesting that you could actually see the energy build up in over the week in that cabinet space. It was a cabinet that could be zipped down and closed and people didn't touch. And you could see this energy build up. It was very interesting to me because it was almost like this interesting little static electricity. If you've ever walked across a carpet and then gone to touch a metal doorknob and you hear that little stuff, it was almost like that energy was built up in that space and held in that space, which was really interesting. And I think that that's something that's not done in America as much, the dedication of sitting like this. Even in, I don't even think it's in America so much. I have to take that back. I really think that what went on in the 1900s, the 1953 and up until the 60s, Gordon Higgins talks about, like, 1960, things shifting because the dedication the next generation kind of got involved in the new era of rock and roll and different things and TV. People more had TV. That the distraction of the material world started pulling some of the people away from this dedication it took to manifest and create this amazing feats of mediumship. So looking into and understanding the dedication it takes to produce this kind of phenomena is very, very amazing. And it really made me want to be more dedicated to the time that I choose to commit to spirit on my personal growth. I'm talking today about my personal journey of what I would like for myself to experience in this different kind of mediumship. It's not about what I choose as my spiritual path, perhaps for my work. This is part of my personal journey of experiencing other forms of mediumship and striving for different qualities and different aspects of my work. And so it was an exciting experience, and I hope that you got a lot out of me sharing it with you. I hope you will check out www.theiss.com website and experience and read about some other mediums from other countries with other gifts. Thank you for sharing your time today with me for Metaphysical Straight Talk from the Heart. Remember to let your heart light shine, to light your way and the way for others. Until we talk again, remember to be wrapped in the wings of angels. Blessings.